Start with a quote this morning. John Piper says this, and I think he's right. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. We know as we, you know, look into His Word and we look at the catechisms and teachings that have come from it that our chief end is to glorify God. But we don't glorify Him without enjoying Him. If we're not enjoying Him, we're not glorifying Him. See, legalism will take us to a place of grudging obedience. But only the gospel can take us to a place where we enjoy the glory of God and glorifying Him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Rolling Stones in an old song called Satisfaction. Familiar with that one? I don't think I've ever quoted the Rolling Stones in a sermon before. I can't get no satisfaction. Not good grammar, but it's good singing. I can't get no satisfaction because I try and I try and I try and I try. I can't get no, and I'll stop there. I won't put you through hearing me sing. Why can't he get no? We can't get lasting satisfaction. We can't get joy, peace. We can't get rest of soul looking in the wrong place. This world will never satisfy you. Oh, it'll, you know, if you get a new toy, get a new motorcycle, get a new house, get a new car, get a new girlfriend, it'll make you happy, circumstance happy for a little while, and then it just becomes life. Right? Because you see somebody else's is better, you think. Looking to temporary things for permanent rest will cause you to sing the rest of your life, I can't get no satisfaction. But this world is not created for us to rest our hope here and find our joy here. And we won't be at rest, true rest, the rest that we're seeking, spiritual rest, rest of soul, rest that out of which flows a joy that's not taken away by the storm. We won't be at rest in Him until we're satisfied with and in Him and in what He has provided for us. First and foremost, His Son, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we need someone. We are, like we've already said, studying Psalm 23, we're sheep. We're prone to stray. We don't know what we're looking for. We'll wander off after something that looks good and end up in the mouth of a bear or a wolf or, you know, predator. We don't know. We need someone to lead us to true rest. We need someone to show us and reveal to us and lead us to true satisfaction. Rest and satisfaction beyond this world. And so far we've seen it in our study, and our text today tells us that that's exactly what we have in our shepherd. One who loves us and leads us to true satisfaction, to true rest that is found only in Him. And as we look at the text today, we see that Jesus leads His sheep to true satisfaction and rest. Rest that endures. And rest that one day will be perfected. But Jesus leads us, His sheep, to true satisfaction and rest. Look at the picture. What we have in Psalm 23 is an analogy, a metaphor. Shepherding is used. Shepherd and sheep relationship is used to picture the relationship between us and our Savior and what it should be and what it does look like. Right? So back in Psalm 23, we've seen already, as we've looked into this psalm, that it starts with this grand statement that the Lord, the God, the ever-living One, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the God-man, fully God and fully man, is our shepherd. And we saw last time that because He's our shepherd, we will not want. It doesn't mean we have everything we want, but He meets all of our needs. He promises to do that. If we don't have it, we don't need it right now. See, and that's the challenging thing for us. See, we'll tie our happiness around something else that we don't have instead of finding it in Him and what He's provided and believing that He knows best and He's provided what's best and He is taking us to what is best. But we don't end the Lord because the Lord is our shepherd. We have everything we need today to do all He's called us to do and be today. We have everything we need for happiness and security and peace and this rest that we want. We have it in Him. So He says this. Now, He's made these statements that He's going to begin to unfold in the rest of the psalm. And because we have His provision and His protection and His preservation, we know that we have everything we need because we have Him as our shepherd. But look at Psalm 2 quickly. The picture of sheep at rest. This is the picture of our relationship with the Lord our shepherd. It says this: He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. More literal. Listen to this. This is sort of a more literal translation. He makes me or causes me to lie down in pastures of fresh grass. And He leads me beside waters of rest. Fresh grass. Lush grass. Right after the rains. Right? It's plenteous and green and very, you know, appealing to the sheep. It's what they need. And then waters of rest, a gentle flowing stream, not a raging river. It takes a lot for a sheep to rest. Sheep are easily spooked. And when they're spooked, they won't eat. They won't drink. They freak out. We don't do that, do we? The goal of the good, if you watched the, and we've talked about this before, if you went over and watched a shepherd with his sheep, a good shepherd, you'll see this amazing relationship. See, he's not behind them, whipping them and beating them and sending them around. He's calling them out by name and they're delightedly coming to him. And there's a love and intimate relationship there. And he's named each one of his sheep and he's there for them. And he protects them from the lion and the bear and the thief, the predator. And he leads them through to plenteous food, plenteous provision. And they have security in that shepherd relationship, so they follow Him wherever He leads them. A good human shepherd leads his sheep to a peaceful place where they can eat and where they can rest. They know Him, they love Him, they trust Him, and they follow Him wherever He leads. See, sheep, and notice this, this can get past you. It doesn't say that He takes me to green grass and He takes me to still water. These sheep are laying down in it. They've eaten to the full. They've drank to the full. They are satisfied. They are laying in the midst of this oasis in the presence of their shepherd. Satisfied, content, well fed, free from fear because He is with them and at rest in His presence. You see, sheep, animals, they need three things to be at rest, to be at peace. They need confidence of safety. They can't rest if they sense danger. You ever noticed how hard it is to rest when you're just worried to death? And things are on your mind. You're worried about things that might happen. In your mind, they are going to happen. Usually they don't happen. But they keep us up at night, don't they? Mark Twain said, "My life has been filled with tragedy, some of which actually happened." Worrying. Making up the stuff that's going to happen. See, but for a sheep to rest, like us, he has to have confidence of safety. He has to have sufficient food and water. They need to be well fed. They're not going to be laying down out there if they're not well fed. And be chowing. And trust, thirdly, trust in their shepherd, which is evidenced by their following Him to the green pastures. By doing what He says. by loving and trusting Him and delightedly walking in His paths as He leads them, because they know He has His best. He has their best in mind. So what's pictured here in this verse are well-fed sheep lying in a lush meadow beside a gentle, peaceful stream. All needs are met, safe with the shepherd, content in His provision, full and resting, satisfied. And man, listen, that's the picture of our relationship. But if a human shepherd will lead animal, sheep, and take care of them like that, how much more does the Lord care for His children? How much more does the Lord care for us? And so that is a picture of our relationship with our good shepherd. Now, the reality of our loving shepherd's care, the reality of the relationship that we have in Him. See, that shepherd-sheep analogy is selected to convey a number of things in Scripture. But right here, the idea that the shepherd has made generous provision for the souls as well as the bodies of His people by His goodness. Our shepherd has made generous provision for our souls as well as our bodies in this life. Think about David. Notice what David doesn't say. He doesn't say, He will make me lie down in green pastures. He says, He does. This is what He does. This is a man who's gone through a lot, who's been a shepherd himself and knows what it's like to care for the sheep and face the bear and face the lion and defeat them. Who knows what it's like to be called out of his own comfort zone and made king and be chased and persecuted and sought to be killed by the man who was then king. His own son tried to kill him. He has this thing going on because of his own sin in his life, in his household, where his children are dying and killing one another and taking advantage of one another. He's gone through many a struggle, some of which is his own sinful failure. And yet the shepherd, his shepherd, presently makes him lie down in green pastures and leads him beside still waters. See, in Psalm 23:2, He makes me, or causes me, to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. A picture of satisfaction, of contentment, of rest in Him. That's where He takes us. Not just to the food, not just to provision for what we need. He does that, but through that to satisfaction and rest in Him. When it says He leads me, the word suggests their gentle guidance. He never drives. He leads, gently cares for. Waters of rest are waters of rest and refreshment. Look at your Savior's heart. Look at what He has in mind for you. Satisfaction, contentment, rest. So that like Him, growingly, see, we have to grow, we're not there yet, but growingly, we can sleep in the boat while the storm is raging, like He did, because He knew His Father had Him. And He even asked the disciples, "Where is your faith?" Our Savior's heart, His goal for you, if you're trusting in Jesus, His goal for you is satisfaction, contentment, rest in what you have right now. Because He's enough. Physical rest flowing out of soul rest. So we were talking about that this morning. If your soul is not at rest, it's hard to rest physically. Anxious, stirred up. But think about this. Even if you think your soul's at rest, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your soul is not at rest. You are in need. You need this shepherd. And then you can experience real rest in growing measure as you grow in grace and know Him better and better. The peace that passes understanding, the calm in the midst of the storm, the happiness that's not tied to circumstances. Like Paul, you can say, "I've learned to be content wherever He has led me, whatever He's provided, whether I have little or much or something in between. I've learned the secret of being content. I can do all things through my shepherd who's with me and strengthens me and is using all that to conform me into His image. But physical rest, physical contentment, flowing out of soul rest and soul contentment. Jesus said this in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Now listen to Jesus who stands and says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What kind of rest, Jesus? "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle." Notice the picture, gentle, lowly in heart, that gentle shepherd. "And you will find rest for your souls." Ah. "For my yoke is easy, it fits well, and my burden is light." My burden for you is light. Right? So where is my rest? It's found in Jesus' yoke. We don't talk like that anymore, do we? We don't usually yoke oxen together like that. But to be yoked together is to be yoked with another. Two oxen yoked together, pulling the plow or pulling the cart, pulling, doing the work. And so what He's saying is your rest is when you become yoked with me and we're pulling together. And my burden, I'm gentle, I'm lowly. My yoke exactly fits you. I've designed it for you. And I'm taking the load so that as you follow me, I'm bearing the most of the burden. And what I allow you to bear, I'll use to make you like me. It all has to work for you if you're yoked with me. If you're trusting Jesus, everything has to work for you. So the soul rest is found in being yoked to Jesus. What does that mean? It's coming to faith in Him. It's being a participant or a partaker of His salvation. It's trusting Him and walking through the trials of this life with Him by God's grace and the power of His Spirit under the instruction of His Word. You might say, "Where are my green pastures? My life is chaos." If you don't know Jesus and your life is chaos, let that instruct you of your need of your shepherd and turn and trust in Him. Because you have hope then, not just for this life, but for the one to come. But if you're a believer and you say, "My life is chaos," back off of that. Let the Word instruct you there. Know that your shepherd is with you. Yes, it's hard right now. I can't figure it out. I can't understand it. Why would I never leave you nor forsake you? I put all of your tears in my bottle. I use everything in this life to make you like myself. See, Jesus is a faithful shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd who is leading His sheep not just once to a green pasture and a still water, but through the valley, through the journey, through. We are constantly, if we're in Jesus, we don't read the world like this because we don't let the Word instruct us on how to see the world. We're walking through green pastures. We're walking by still waters because He's with us. Everything might be blowing up around you, but if you're in Christ, you know how to interpret that and you have a context for that and you know that He will not bring anything to your life that will hurt you. It will instruct you and it will grow you. It will stretch you, make you more like Him because He's at work. What does Romans 8:28 say? That basically that He causes everything to work for good for those who love Him. Notice it doesn't say everything is good. Bad things do happen to Christians. People sin against us. People sometimes kill us. Right? It's happening more now than it ever has. Just not here, so we're sort of insulated. But it serves us. To live is Christ and to die is gain. Crown my head or cut it off, I win. Not because of me, but because of Jesus. I don't always live in that confidence. I'll just let the cat out of the bag. I'm not glorified yet. I still get caught up in worry and all these other things sometimes. But God's faithful to bring His Word and bring me back and grow me through it. What is the green pasture? What are the still waters? Well, ultimately that's heaven. New heavens, new earth, right? Read Revelation 22. Lamb is the light, stream, water of life, tree of life, all, bliss. No more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more struggle ever again. Fullness of joy, satisfaction, purpose. It won't be boring. It's only sin in your heart that makes it sound boring to be reconciled to God and never have to deal with sin again. It won't be boring. It will be the most exhilarating thing you could picture or think about forever. So the ultimate green pasture is the heavens and the earth. But think about it. David's talking about now. David's talking about this life. What is the green pasture for the sheep but food? What is the still waters but drink? The green pasture and the still waters are His provision for what we need. He feeds us physically. He promises to do that. But He feeds us spiritually as well if we will eat. And the level of our contentment shows us how much we're really partaking of the spiritual diet that He's provided. True rest is found in our souls being well fed and well watered. And out of that, the physical rest that we're seeking is possible. See, God promises to meet the needs of both our body and our soul. He's a good shepherd that takes care of not just this life, but the life to come. And He's with us, growing us in grace every moment in this life. He feeds His sheep. He provides for them. Go back and listen to last week. But He provides the basic necessities that we need. And for the body we need, we don't need much. Did y'all know that? Go back and listen to last week. Paul says, having food and clothing, with these I'll be content. Now that's down the road in the school of grace, right? But having food and clothing, but necessities for the body, food, water, clothing, shelter. Last sermon. If we have those things, we have plenty. Most of us have way more than that. And we're not content because we're seeking our happiness in the stuff, in the people, in the creation instead of the Creator. But see, He provides for our soul. Gospel. Grace. What is that? What is the gospel? That Christ came and lived for us. Why? Because we've sinned, and all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We deserve wrath. We can't save ourselves. We need a Savior. So a Savior came, fulfilled the law in every point in which we had failed, kept it all in thought, word, and deed for God's glory and for us, so that we'd have righteousness on our account. And then He took our sin upon Himself and died and paid the penalty that we deserved to pay. He took not just physical death, but the wrath we deserve upon Himself, that we might trust in Him, be fully forgiven, empowered by His Spirit, have hope for this life and the life to come, live with joy and purpose in Him. See, He's provided the gospel, which is Jesus. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, raised the third day. He's ascended. He's seated on the throne right now, ruling and reigning for His people. And He calls on, in fact, He commands every man, woman, boy, and girl to repent. To think differently about sin, to turn from it and trust in Him as their Savior. There's one Savior, one name by which we're saved, Acts says. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself said, no one comes to me, comes to the Father, except through me. I love you, so I risk offending you. There's only one Savior, and it is Jesus. Turn and trust in Him. And rest in Him. And He's got you. And I promise you, as a Christian, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're going to freak out sometimes because life is not going to look right. You're going to go through trials and struggles that you can't explain. But He's right there with you in the midst. And He's using them to make you like Himself. See, He didn't promise us a rose garden. But He did promise us a green pasture and still waters if we'll find it in Him. See, God's sheep are well fed. Let's think about that for a minute. He promises to feed our bodies. So we have food, we have water, we have clothing, praise the Lord, and shelter. But our souls, we have gospel, Jesus, hope in Him, grace. See, our relationship is based on grace with God. He loves us in and because of Jesus. God's not going to love you anymore when you get up in the morning after you have your quiet time or whatever it is you do than He did before you started. Because He loves you because of Jesus. You can't perform and make that better. But you can get up resting in that. Spend your day loving Him. In fact, His grace will make you want to seek Him, where legalism will just beat the word right out of you. But God's sheep are well fed, and He's fed our soul. So that grass is food for the sheep and the water is drink for the sheep. What does that mean to our soul? What is the green pasture that feeds our soul? It's right here. Word. We have God's Word, complete, full, finished, not to be added to, not to be taken away from. Sufficient for all your needs. The power of the Spirit. See, the Word is equated to food in the Word. And it's equated to water even. Washing with the water of the Word. The Spirit is equated with water and tied together. The Spirit doesn't work except through the Word. Not apart from the Word and outside of the Word. You don't need... The Word is sufficient for you. Listen to this. I'll just read a couple of verses. But you need nothing more than Jesus and His Word. Psalm 19, 7 to 10. The law of the Lord is perfect. Broadly speaking there. Perfect. Reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. Enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Even much fine gold. Sweeter than honey. And the drippings of the honeycomb. Perfect, sure, right, pure, clean. You don't need better than perfect. You can't get better than perfect. You add to it, you take away from it. You pollute it, you take away from it. Obviously, you take away from it. So listen, New Testament, you said that's the Old Testament. Well, I know. Have a whole Bible, but we can talk about that later. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man, woman, boy, girl of God, those who know Him may be competent or complete, equipped for every good work. We have all things for life and godliness through a knowledge of Him which He's given in His Word. He's not left us guessing. Green pasture. Still water. Your life. How do you know God? Word. How do you know you? Word. How do you know Jesus? Word. Without the Word. Toast. That's what the enemy of your soul is trying to do to you. Distract you and draw you away from the green pasture and the still waters that the Lord has provided. See, life will do that to us, won't it? We just get too busy. I'm just too busy to read God's Word. If you're too busy to read God's Word, you're too busy. I bet you can find time to try. Problem is, why don't you want to? The better you get the gospel, the more you, like the deer, pants for the water. So my thoughts, I can't talk this morning. My soul thirsts for you. See, grace will ignite your desire to want to know this God who's been so rich to you and saved you. Legalism will throw cold water on you, and even when you read, you're not listening. But if you're relating to God through grace, you'll have a thirst for His Word because the Spirit puts that in you and draws you into the Word and uses that Word to sanctify and grow you. Don't let laziness rob you. Don't let media rob you. Don't let anything rob you from letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's a command, y'all. It's a grace-based command, but it's a command. He's provided everything we need here. And there are many foes that try to draw you away from that. Your own evil heart. I'm bored with it. I need something else. You don't need anything else. You don't understand it if you're bored with it. You're approaching it legalistically if you're bored with it. Now there's a lot of stuff in here that takes a lot of study to figure out. But everything related to salvation is so clear that these children can understand it. And fill us with hope. Let me warn you about something right now. There are wolves out there who are dressed in sheep's clothing, who are on TV and radio and writing books, who have ministries that seek to draw you away from God's Word. Shut up. Not true. Uh-huh. See, what will happen with some of these people is that you'll go to them and you'll tell them you're struggling in your marriage and you have a marriage problem, and they'll tell you, well, you just need that man of God over there to pray for you. Give him a little money, get him to pray for you, everything. No mention of counseling, digging into the Word. What should a marriage look like? What should a husband look like? What should a wife look like? No hard work, see? Shortcut, red flag, lost. Oh, don't worry about what he's saying. I know it's not in the Word, but he's anointed. Well, he's not anointed if he's saying things that are not in here. Because you know what? God says it's finished. And he'll never add to it, and he'll never take away from it. Read the last book. He's got a pretty strong word about that in the end of Revelation 22. And yet he sovereignly knew that was going to be the last book and put it together that way. It's not just talking about Revelation. See, this is complete. This is everything you need for life and godliness. This is where your treasure is hidden. This is where your joy is hidden, because this is going to point you to Jesus and rest in Him and tell you who He is for you. Yes, it's got to tell you who you are, and that's not good news. But get over it. We're sinners. We fall short. We need salvation. I'm not peeking in your windows, but you know better than me. I'm probably worse than you are. Chief of sinners, Paul said he was. We need a salvation. Don't let people draw you away from the Word. We want a shortcut, don't we? You want to hear God speak to you audibly? Read this out loud. So you won't want to dig. We don't want to, because we haven't gotten the gospel. You're not going to be saved because you read the Word a lot. But if you really get His grace, you will want to be in this Bible. And you will grow in grace. There's no sense praying over whether or not you should marry an unbeliever if you're a believer. Now some of us did, and God saw us through that, and everything worked out. But that doesn't excuse for violating His Word. He clearly says not to do that. You don't have to pray about it, and it don't matter how you feel. If you're a Christian, here it is. And taking a stand for that might be what God uses in their life anyway to get them thinking seriously about Christ. Yeah. Be careful. The devil is crafty. If he can convince you, if the enemy of your soul can convince you you lack something, point you away from what God has provided, the green pastures, the still waters in Christ, feed your discontent, lead you away from the true source of your satisfaction, peace, and rest in God's Word. No other way to know Jesus. This is not God. Jesus, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's God. But He's given us His Word. And He points us to His Word. And He tells us to grow in His Word. And He tells us to let it dwell in us richly. That's why we need community. That's why we need teachers. Not all the teachers are good, I know. But to the extent that we're pointing you to the Word and adequately and accurately explaining the Word, Christ is ministering to your soul and showing you who your shepherd is. See, Jesus leads us to green pastures all the time. We just don't always know where they are. And I'm telling you, the green pasture is Jesus Himself. And in His Word that tells us about Him and points us to Him. The Spirit is not a spiritless religion. The Holy Spirit empowers us to grow in grace and to know Him and to love Him and to live for Him. But there is no special revelation happening these days. This is special revelation. This is Word of God. Right here. This is complete. This is sufficient. This is what you need. If you go outside of this, or think you need more than this, or listen to who people writing books who say they have more than this, you're stepping outside of, you're like a sheep straying from the shepherd and becoming vulnerable to the wolves. God has provided a rich feast and banquet here. And my only question is, are you feeding on it? Maybe you don't know Jesus, and the first thing is to turn and to trust in Jesus so that you have the Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher, who will show you and teach you what this word means. But if you're a Christian, if you're trusting in Jesus, how content are you with where you are and what you have right now? That convicts me, right? But the better I know Him, and the more of His Word is dwelling in me, and the more I'm seeing life through the lens of the Gospel, which is a Scripture, in the Scripture, through the lens of Scripture, the more contented I'm going to be in Him and in what He's given me right now. And He may add more, or He may take away, and that'll be okay because He's in charge of all that, not me. Now, I'll whine more when He takes it away than when He gives more, but even that'll teach me. Right? See, we're the same as the sheep. We need three things so that we can rest. We need confidence of security, and that's only going to be found through the Gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ. The more your hope is consciously and consistently rooted in Him for your salvation, the more consistently you're going to walk in assurance and confidence of safety of your soul. And that's the confidence you need first and foremost. Is confidence of safety of your soul. And that's only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we sing, in Christ alone. We just sang that. But we also need sufficient food and water. So for our bodies, most of us are getting plenty. I mean, I said this last time. You can look at me and tell I'm well fed. Okay? But am I starving my soul? He set a banquet table for me, for my soul right here. And I'm walking to other things trying to, and it won't work. How well fed. See, to be contented, to be satisfied, and therefore to be at rest means that I'm well fed. And the Spirit will teach you and grow you in His Word through your own personal study and reading, through the times when you gather together as brothers and sisters in Bible study, and especially on Sunday morning. Not, this is self-serving, it sounds like it is, not to say anything about me, but Him. He does something special when we gather for worship and His Word is preached. His Spirit takes that Word and drives it into our hearts and changes our lives. Value highly the means of grace, right? Flowing out of the Gospel and grace, prayer, reading, studying, hearing, preaching. But don't just, see, today there's a danger in that. You can just be always listening to somebody preaching. Never thinking about it, never understanding it, never seeking to walk in it. So seek to grasp what you hear that's good and really feed on it, meditate on it, memorize it, you know the down the road. So we need confidence in our security in Christ. We need sufficient food and water, Spirit taking the Word and applying it to us. And we need to trust and follow our shepherd. And if we really love Him and we trust Him, we will follow Him and we will live life the way He says life ought to be lived in His Word. And we'll do it with joy because of the Gospel and the truth that's there. Not legalism. It won't produce that joy. See, He leads us to green pastures and still waters all the time if we know Him. He's not leaving us without sufficient food and water, without confidence for our soul, without a path to follow. Since all things are worked by our shepherd for our good, we can count everything all joy, right? The more we grow in grace, the better we get that. And some days we'll be better at it than others, and none of us are perfect yet. Most of the time, I've said this before, when trials hit, I say, oh, help, let me out. Instead of like, oh, that's wonderful. He's making me like Jesus. But He brings us around to that when we're in the midst of trials and shows us that He's with us and He's cashing it in for Christ's likeness. For the Christian, all of life is a green pasture because all must work for me in Jesus and because of Jesus. Heidelberg, question number one. If you don't know it, go look at it and memorize it. David himself, right here, he describes himself. And you know all the trials and struggles and hardships in David's life. He describes himself as safe in the shepherd's care, delivered from his anxiety because of his presence and protection, gaining an ability to be content in the things, the simple things that God has provided. He's with his shepherd and he is delighted and he has plenty. Wherever he is, like Paul, growing in grace and coming to this place, learning it, Paul, wherever I am, whatever I have, it is enough. Can you say that about where you are and what you have? It is enough. It is enough for me. Because you are with me. And you will never leave me nor forsake me. It is enough. See, that's what he's telling us. He's telling you, it is enough. You don't have to wait till you get this or get rid of this. Or you have me. You have everything you need for life and godliness. You have everything you need for joy and contentment in Christ. And the things that He's given you and surrounded you with are perfect for you and for you at this time in your life. And I'm telling you, sometimes that's really, really deep, hard trials and it's hard to grasp. But He's with you and He hasn't forsaken you even though life goes sideways on you. If you're trusting in Jesus, you can be confident that though it hurts, you're in the midst of a green pasture because He's in it with you and He's cashing it in to grow you and to make you like Himself. See, in Jesus we have everything we need to be satisfied, to be contented, it's a synonym of satisfied, and to be at rest because He's ours. He's our shepherd and He's in it with us. Let me close from John 10. This is not a slide, so don't look for it. But this is I've just squished a few things together. Go read John 10. But Jesus talks about being the door and being the shepherd and being everything we need. And He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. See, He says He's come that we might have life and have it abundantly. But abundant life is Jesus' life and rested in Him. Come what may. He says, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Notice this, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Our good shepherd leads us to true satisfaction and rest in His green pasture. So believe Him. Rest in Him. Feed on Him. Follow after Him. He is worthy because He laid down His life for us. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would help us to believe You. Help us to believe Your Word. Help us to know that we have everything we need if we have You. That You promise to provide what is perfect for us every day we walk this earth. So what I have right now is perfect for me in You, that I might grow in grace, that I might be a blessing, to glorify Your name and be a blessing to those around me, that I might be a light for You. You may add more, You may take away some. You are Lord of that. Wherever You take us, You will be sufficient for us. And I pray that You'd help us to believe You. Help us to seek You and Your rest, and Your green pastures, and Your still waters in Your Word. Help us to love you and delight in you as our true and good shepherd, and to believe that you will always provide everything we need, not just to squeak by, but to be satisfied and at rest in you. Do it, Lord. We can't. We give you praise and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.